It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's great to be able to go to someone for counsel, but you know, it's even greater to be able to go to God for counsel. And that's what we want to look at today as we continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was not wise because he was so smart or because of anything extra special about him, except for the fact that he was willing to listen to God. He was willing to pass on the counsel that he received from the Lord. And that's what we want to look at now as we look into the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And I see that this chapter and the objectives here is, first of all, to understand what makes for better living in this vain world. How to live better as we walk through this life. And also to appreciate the limitations of wisdom in providing answers. We can look to man's wisdom all we want to, and we certainly can see things concerning the world and concerning things that we live in the world with, but the greatest wisdom comes from God Himself, and that is the wisdom that prevails over every other thing in this life, knowledge, wisdom, anything that man has to offer. Now, first of all, let's look at that the counsel that God wants us to have in verses 1 through 14, and that is better living. We want to live better. And there's so many books that have been written by man that tells us how to live better, but there's only one book from God, and that is the book, the Bible. And that's where we need to get our wisdom from and our guidance from. Look with me in verse 1, the first part of that verse, we see that honor is better than luxury. It says there, a good name is better than precious ointment. In other words, a good name is to be highly valued. It's better than precious ointment. In this context, it's representative of luxury. In other words, the name that we have, we're to guard that name, and it's to be valued. We're to do things that bring honor and glory to God. And then in turn, we see that our name is going to be valued. In the rest of that verse, in verse 1, it says, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let's read that together. It says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Did you know your death day is better than your birthday? According to that part of verse 1, a person's birth is the beginning of sorrows according to the Word of God. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Then we read back in Job 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Job was going through something terrible in life. And maybe you've gone through something like this, not quite like Job did. He was someone that was placed beyond measure of discomfort, and God allowed this. God wasn't being mean to Job. He was simply letting the devil know that there was someone who was willing to stand up for God, stand up for him, no matter what came into his life. But we need to understand that as Job went through trials and tribulations, we too will have these things come into our lives. And maybe you've had this same attitude on a time or an occasion that where you said, I just wish I had never been born. And that's what Job is saying here. He was suffering. And Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 20, verses 14 through 18. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide. because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Verse 18 says, wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see honor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Well, certainly we have times of difficulty in this life, and some of us at times we just don't feel like that anyone loves us, but we need to take heart because God loves us. God is the one who makes us and enables us to do what we have to do in this life. But that verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says that the death day is better than the birthday. Why? Because if we are gone, then we don't have to worry about things anymore. Because once again, as we as Christians, we have the blessed hope, and that is the assurance that we're going to be with the Lord. We'll see that in just a moment. As we look at this about death, one's death can be the beginning of eternal bliss. And that bliss, of course, is for the righteous one, the person who has trusted Jesus as Savior. In Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2, it says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. In other words, we don't have to worry about that person who has died in the Lord. And it goes on to say, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. In other words, that person, their life is over with on this earth, and they have no more cares about this world. And verse 2 of Isaiah 57 says, he shall enter into peace. That's the safe person, the righteous person. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Doesn't mean you go to the grave and you're asleep for that period of time until the Lord comes back for us. There's no such thing as sleeping after a person goes out of this world. After that person dies, it's saying here that that person is walking in his uprightness even after death. So we're aware of what's going on with us even after death. But the point is that it's better for that person for us to be with the Lord. In Revelation 14:13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Doesn't mean that that they're in the grave and there's nothing taking place there. That's simply the old body. The old carcass is there. That's not the real person. That person is resting from the labors of this life, of the human life. And, you know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, that he wants us to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, this old carcass is going to go to the ground, but we're going to be with the Lord. The real person will be with the Lord, and that's the time of rejoicing that we're looking forward to. And that's what Ecclesiastes, that's what Solomon's trying to let us know. That's what God is trying to let us know here, when this life is over, the best life is yet to come for the Christian. That person, that righteous person, we're made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best time. It's when we are with the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 2 through 4 says this now. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Well, notice this about these verses in verses 2 through 4. A funeral is better than a party. Well, how can that be? You know, there's a lot of sadness at the loss of a loved one. Well, it's sad when that person goes on, when that person leaves this life. But once again, we need to take heart in realizing that that person who knows Jesus Christ is with the Lord. And one of these days, we too, who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, we too will see that person who's gone on before. And that funeral, when we think of it that way, that funeral becomes a time of rejoicing. I want you to notice that it is better to go to the funeral home than to the house of celebration, the pleasure and the house of pleasure and enjoyment. That's what the first part of verse 2 is talking about. The funeral home is where men end up, and the living will be emotionally and sincerely moved. That's the reason that when a message is brought at a funeral, that message needs to be uplifting the Lord. That funeral needs to be, the message there needs to be, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That person who is going on, that person doesn't need directing at that point. But those people who are listening, who are at that funeral, they need to give their attention to the Lord. That's who the message needs to go out to. That person who is sitting there without Jesus Christ needs to be in a position of understanding that they need to receive Jesus as Savior so they can go to heaven. And that person who is there who has trusted the Lord, they need to realize that one day that person, if that person who is going on has trusted Jesus, one day they too will see that person once again. They need to be comforted in the realization that Jesus Christ is the great comforter. And one day we will see him personally if we've trusted him, and we'll see that loved one who's going on ahead if they have trusted Jesus as Savior. Well, that verse and those verses teach in verses 2 through 4, grief is better than laughter, because sincere regret, and this is sadness, causes the real person, this is the heart, to change for the best. And this is seen in verse 3. And the conclusion is that the heart, the basis of a person's emotional, real, innermost being, this is of the wise, is in the house of mourning. This is, they're really seriously thinking, and they have recognition about the finish line. It's brought to the attention that it is appointed unto man once to die. And it says here, and it goes on to tell us in verse 4, the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. In other words, the foolishness, they're making fun of this. They don't listen to the message that's going forth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The person today needs to receive Jesus as Savior. Have you done that? Have you trusted Christ to save you, to make you fit for heaven? I want to pray for you right now and pray for those persons who are listening who know Jesus as Savior. Father, thank you for this message today. Thank you for your word. Now I pray for that person who needs salvation today. May they call upon you and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. For that person who is saved, may you comfort them today and lead them, guide them, help them to grow in your grace and knowledge. You have just listened to Lesson 13 of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. Well, God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study his book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study Lesson 14 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.